Bibles today to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to take a look at beginning in verse 22, a story that probably is familiar to most of you, but I want to share it with you. I know the weatherman has been saying last few days that they're expecting some storms tonight and maybe some severe over the next couple of days, and we are not unfamiliar, are we, with storms here in Oklahoma. We live just on the border of Norman, Oklahoma, and Moore, Oklahoma, and for some reason, Moore gets hammered again and again every few years with tornadoes right there. It seems that there may be Oklahoma, but maybe Tornado Alley, but Moore's got to be Tornado Main Street because it just keeps on getting hammered there by severe storms. And we're familiar with storms. We're going to look at a storm that takes place during the ministry of Jesus today, and hopefully we can glean some things that will be applicable to our lives, because whether we face these physical storms in the next few days or not, all of us face storms of one kind or another in our lives, and someone may say you've faced some in the past. If you live very long, you'll probably face some more in the future. They seem to come at us sometimes when we least expect it. But I want to read this to you, beginning in verse 22 of chapter 14 of Matthew. It says, "And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Now, I'll stop there and mention to you, this comes right after that they Jesus had miraculously fed over 5,000 men and women at one time. And this takes place immediately after that. And it says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." In my office there in Moore, Oklahoma, there's behind my desk, there is a picture, and it's a picture of this scene. It shows the waters being troubled. It shows a little boat with some men in it, and it shows Peter in the forefront of that. It shows Peter sinking and Jesus reaching down to take him by the hand. Many of you may have seen this famous picture before. Well, many, many years ago, while I was pastoring in Norman, Oklahoma, the women's group of the church, they wanted to do something for pastor appreciation. And so they took me, some of the ladies took me and let me look at, they said, "We want to get a picture for your office." And I looked and looked, and I wanted it to be something that was meaningful. And as soon as I saw this picture, I knew that's it. Now, there's a little caption down at the bottom of it. And it says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And so that I said, that's it. That's the picture. I see myself in this picture. So they immediately thought that they said, oh, do you see yourself as Peter doubting? And the Lord says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" I said, "Oh, goodness, no, that's not me in the picture." I said, "I wish that I had the faith of Peter to step out of the boat." I said, "Look at the picture closely. There's one guy standing in the boat hanging on to the mast for dear life. That's me in this picture." I know that it's not easy when times are troubled to have the faith that we need to have for such a time as that. I look at this and I see that there's several things that stand out to me in this passage and that are of interest to me. I don't think that the storm caught Jesus off guard, and yet it says that he sent them away into the sea. I think he knew that they would face a storm. Now, another thing that's of interest to me is that on another occasion, you might remember where Jesus was traveling in the boat with them and a storm came up and it got so bad that they went and woke Jesus up and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus got up and he just said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And immediately the Bible says there was a great calm. So we know that Jesus not only had the ability to walk on the water, as this story tells us, he also had the ability to just say to the storm, "Be done," and it would be done. Amen. Now, here's the deal. He sent them out there knowing they would face a storm, and he didn't just say, "Uh-oh, the guys are out there. Storm, be still." He didn't do that. He let them rock along in these troubled waters and high winds. Something we should learn about that, because in truth, we're going to face some high winds and rough waters in our lives. We may wonder, why doesn't the Lord see this? Why doesn't the Lord do something about it? But I hope to show you something from this passage today to help you in that time. I'm not a big fan of storms, but I'm especially not a big fan of storms out on the water. I don't have a whole lot of experience. I'm kind of a landlubber, but I like going out, and we lived for 4 years. I pastored a church at Corpus Christi, Texas. Several of my guys in the church were fishermen, and we take their boats out, sometimes out into the Gulf a little bit, but most of the time in Corpus Christi Bay. And I had a tugboat captain in the church. His name was Benny Feet. Benny was a precious, precious saint of the Lord, and he was many, many years older than me. But he asked me one day at church, he said, "Mike, would you like to go out fishing with me this weekend?" I said, "Benny, I would love to go fishing with you." I'm envisioning that Benny's going to take me out in his tugboat, and we're going to catch a whale out there in the Gulf. So I meet him at the appointed time there at Corpus Christi Bay, and in the back of his pickup, he's got a little 14-foot flat-bottom aluminum boat with a little 25-horse motor on the back of it. I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed. I thought we was going to do something better than that, something to go out into big water. But we went out in the middle of the bay. Now, I can see land on three sides of me, and then I can look out and see the Gulf of Mexico, which comes into that bay. Well, I noticed out there in the Gulf that there are some dark clouds growing and billowing up, and they're getting higher and higher and higher. And Benny's sitting back by the motor. I'm on the front seat of that little flat bottom boat, looking back at him, and I don't think he sees the clouds. I'm sure he probably did, but I'm thinking, you know what? There's a storm coming. We better get out of here. And I wasn't too worried. I could swim. I felt like I could probably make it to shore. I just didn't want to. I'd rather get on back in the boat, you know. But anyway, the wind starts coming up, the swells start coming up, and we're just bobbing up and down. Benny was a pipe smoker, and Benny had his pipe in his mouth back there just fishing like there was not a care in the world. Now, Benny, you got to know, he was out on the water all the time. He wasn't too worried about this at all. Finally, whenever the water is capping with white stuff and we're still just going up and down, I'm getting scared to death. I want land as quickly as possible. Benny finally looks over at me and he says, "Well, it's getting a little rough out here. We might ought to head into shore." And I said, "I think that would be a good idea, Benny. Let's go on into shore." We'd caught a few fish, but so anyway, we laid the poles down in the bottom underneath a middle seat there, and Benny takes three or four pulls and starts up that old 25-horse motor, and he outweighed me probably by 100 pounds and had the weight of the motor in the back, and so even going out there on the front, I was kind of up out of the water, and he was just chugging along in the back of the water. Well, when we go over those swells, and they felt like they were 25 feet high. They might have been 6 or 7 feet high. But we'd go up a swell, and I would feel like I was just 100 feet in the air. And then the boat would come down the backside, and the weight of his boat, him and the motor would keep it going down. But when it got to the bottom, it wasn't no place for me to go, but boom, down. I can tell you to this day, I don't know who owns that aluminum boat, but it still has fingernail prints up under the seat of the front seat. I can tell you that for sure. I was never so glad in my life to get to shore than whenever we finally got there, drenched, soaking wet, lightning flashing everywhere. And so I know that the fishermen, Peter and the others, Peter and James and John and the ones who lived out on the water, it probably wasn't quite as frightening to them as it was to Matthew and some of the other disciples that were not used to being out on the water. But I can relate to how frightening it is whenever you're out there and it seems like you're going to sink. But you know what? That's not the only kind of storms that I've endured in my 62 years. There's been some others that have been every bit as frightening in different ways than that experience. And having served as a pastor for over 30 years, I know in walking with families through a variety of storms, that there's all kinds of storms that people face. There are storms that we face whenever that either ourselves or a loved one faces illness or disease. There are storms that we face whenever that there is the loss of a loved one because of death or tragedy. Just this past week, they had celebrated once again the 21st anniversary of the Murrah Building bombing. A deacon from my church, Stephen Curry, was killed in that bombing on that day. And I walked with that family. Not only, it took 4 days before we found out that he was indeed one of the dead that had been picked up, but I went with the families to look through hospitals to see if we could look in and see Stephen. So I know what real storms of life that happen to people. There's other storms, financial storms. People lose their jobs. They're in jeopardy of losing their house. And they wonder, God, don't you see what's going on? Well, here's what the lesson that I want us to learn from this story and take home with us today. I look at this and I see that Jesus was indeed aware of their situation. And right in the darkest part of the night, whenever they're afraid and it seems like things are hopeless out there where they're at in the middle of this storm in the sea, Jesus came to them in the midst of their storm. Now, let me tell you how that has been fleshed out many, many times that I've witnessed as a pastor and also in my own life. I believe that God does indeed know what we are facing. For any of you that I know in those days, whenever there was just a handful of people here and you wondered about the future, been hard to see that day, this building full of folks today, just 4 years later. But whenever we're looking and we don't see and we can't see the outcome and things are frightening because the winds are high and the water is rough. I've witnessed times whenever that, like in this story, that the storm didn't get taken away. Wouldn't it be nice if we just looked up and said, Lord, I'm frightened, take this away, and it would just be gone. Just me, that'd be great. But quite truthfully, that's not the way I usually see it take place. But what I do see is, in each and every case, my Lord is faithful to show up, even in the midst of the storm. We have not long after that Murrah Building bombing, and I've certainly witnessed God's grace to this family through the years. But we had our youth pastor, Brother Kevin Harper, was there, and his wife Jennifer. They were expecting their first child. They found out through ultrasounds that the child had some deformity and some difficulties that it was going to face whenever it was born. And little Jackson was born sometime just before Christmas, I believe it was, 1 year. And sure enough, he had some very serious, serious problems. And Janine and I would go up virtually every day to check on Kevin and Jennifer and see how they're doing, little Jackson, how he was doing. And he hung on for about 6 or 7 days. And I'm going to tell you, this young couple was completely, if you could have seen them, they were just, they looked like that, you wouldn't have had to guess that they were going through a storm. They were distraught. They were burdened. They looked like they hadn't slept in days. They were not eating and they were getting gaunt because they were just so overwhelmed with their grief and their concern for their newborn son. And I know we showed up one morning and I always, you know, what can you say? And especially you'd see them day after day, and what more can you say to try to be comforting to them, to try to give them hope or encouragement? And I walked in, we walked up to the door, we knocked on the door, and we heard someone move, and Kevin opened the door, and immediately I could tell something had happened. In fact, as I looked at him, I my first thought was, has something happened during the night with Jackson? Because I thought he must have had a miraculous turnaround because it had been looking bleak. And Kevin said, has something happened good for Jackson? And Kevin, he just looked at me and said, come on in. And as we sat down, they began to tell us that during the night, around 2 a.m., broken and crying and asking God for his help, they said, all of a sudden, as though he just was in our presence, they said, he gave us a peace. Peace that we can't comprehend or understand, but it helped us by his grace to say, God, we know that you love Jackson even more than we can possibly love him. And we entrust him into your hands to do what's best for him. Amen. Well, little Jackson went to be with the Lord just a few days after that. I think he was 11 days old. And Kevin and Jennifer will grieve for their son for, I'm sure, the rest of their lives. But the truth is, what I can tell you is, about 2 a.m., 4 days before he went, in the midst of their storm, Jesus showed up for them that night with peace that they couldn't understand. You know, there's been so many incidences that I could share. I'll just share one more with you that took place in my life. There's a difficult time. That was a storm that was raging, and in fact, Janine had gone to the hospital, and I didn't know. We didn't know what the outcome would be, and fortunately, it turned out well for us. But I know whenever I had to leave, and I had intentionally not gone home because I just wanted to be alone. And so I went to my mom and dad's, and I knew I could go back to a bedroom and just beseech the Lord there and all of that there. And all of a sudden the doorbell rang, and Dad comes back and he says, hey, there's some, in fact, it's the two guys that it was a missionary who was home on furlough. His name is Stan Bunch. I've known him since our college days. And Dennis Carricker, who has been a pastor in the state of Oklahoma here for many years. And I just thought to myself whenever my dad said that. In fact, I almost told him, tell him I just don't really want to see anybody right now. But I thought, you know what? They've made the effort to come over here. I need to walk out there. Those guys, they just simply said, Mike, we want to pray with you. We prayed for probably not more than 4 or 5 minutes. They hugged me. They said, we love you. And they left. Let me tell you about that. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to see them when they did get there. But whenever they left, I knew that the Lord had sent them to me to put their arms in his behalf around my neck to give me strength for the storm. Now, folks, I don't know what storm that you will face, and as I say, the stories are somewhat endless that I could tell you, but I have found this truth, not only in others' lives, but in my own life. Even when Jesus doesn't take away the storm, he shows up in some way. Be watching for him. Have your heart open, because in some way he's going to let you know that he cares, that he loves you, and that he'll see you to the other side. That's been true, and even in the heart of, as people faced imminent death, and the families in great distress, it's been somewhat miraculous to see the grace that the Lord can extend to folks, even in the midst of the worst of the storms that can be possibly imagined. Now, I look at this, and in this passage, I would be remiss not to go ahead and mention the story of Peter stepping out of the boat. Now, I've got to tell you, there's so many things about the story. One, that Jesus is walking on the water. Now, that's a little bit mind-boggling. You know what? I don't have any trouble believing that. I have people tell me, I have trouble believing this stuff. Well, you know what? To be saved, Paul said that if Jesus is not risen from the grave, then our preaching is vain and our faith is in vain and we are yet in our sins. So if you have forgiveness of sin, one thing that you accept is that Jesus came back from the dead. Okay, and the rest of it's easy. That's impossible too. If you can believe that Jesus came back from the dead, then you can believe he walked on water, he did the miracles of healing, he did all the other stuff, and that God can do the impossible. That once you really, someone that tells me I'm a believer, but I don't really believe all that miracle stuff, I think, well, what is it you don't believe? If you can believe the resurrection, which you have to, then you can believe the rest of it, that God can do the impossible. But I look at this, and so Jesus walking on the water, gets out there, they think he's a ghost, but here's the mind-boggling part. Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you. I'm thinking, Peter, what if it's not him? What are you thinking? Jesus simply says, come. And tell you, somebody that has some faith, Peter steps out of the boat and into the water. And he too is walking on the water until what happens? Takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at the storm. And then he begins to sink. You know what? That's been a reality in the storms that I've witnessed in my life as well. The more we can keep our eyes on the Lord, the better we can walk on the water. The more that we focus on the storm, the quicker we sink. May God help us, you and I here today, as we face the storms that surely will come, that we will be able to, with faith and courage, look to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand. I'm frightened. I'm worried. But Lord, I trust you. And be watching, because Jesus is going to show up. I've seen it again and again and again. He will show up and help you. And here's what I believe happens whenever that we can face crisis. And people wonder as they look at your life and say, I'm amazed at your faith that you have. These guys, they gathered around Jesus after he got in the boat, the storm, the wind ceased, and they said, truly, you are the Son of God. I can tell you that your handling of storms will help point people to the Savior. I know that. In fact, just in closing today, remember whenever Paul and Silas were thrown in the dungeon in Philippi? They've been beaten. They're in the dungeon. Their feet are in stocks. That's not a good day. That would be a storm if it was happening to me. And yet at midnight, they were praying and singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And then when the earthquake came, the doors flew open, and the guard wants to kill himself because he thinks the prisoners have set themselves free. Then Paul says, do yourself no harm. We are all here. The thing I'm astounded about that story is the impact that Paul and Silas had made in a short time in the rest of those prisoners' lives by how they handled crisis. May God help us in the midst of our storm to reveal our faith, that we love him. that we're watching for him to show up, and that we're going to keep our eyes on him. I don't know what you're facing today. You know what I've discovered is one of the worst storms that a person can face is when they know spiritually their heart's not right with the Lord. There is a turmoil like no other whenever the convicting power of the Holy Spirit deals with their heart. And there may be someone here today that you need to get your heart right with God. I can tell you, he can speak to that storm when you surrender to him, and he'll say, "Peace, be still." Others that might be facing a different kind of storm, one that I haven't mentioned, but you know exactly the storm that you're facing, that you just need to pray and ask God for strength. But I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward, and we're going to have a word of prayer. And if there's someone here today that needs to come and pray at these altars, that's what they're here for, then you come this morning.